Can you guys hear the rain? Probably, because the camera's right by the windshield. Yeah. I wonder if you guys can even... No, you can hear us. I can see the audio meter. Okay.
Well, that's good. So you have ambient noise now. No need for background music.
So we just watched the D&D movie, Honor Among Thieves.
Really late, because I wanted to see it when it came out.
You didn't have time to go, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have time. Okay. Nobody had time.
Yeah.
I had time.
Okay, so what'd you think of it?
I liked it. Good.
You see, what's funny is that, like, even though you never played a tabletop campaign, I've played several, but you're way more into D&D than I am.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you love D&D.
Yeah, the social anxiety makes me not want to play, but I really like it.
Okay, yeah, see, every time we play, like, a Final Fantasy or something, I always point it out because I know that you like it. I know that you notice all the D&D influences in Final Fantasy.
Yep.
I think I sent you, there was that one old video, but I think it was by Mark Brown, where he was like, here's where Final Fantasy came from, and I showed the tabletop stuff, and yeah.
Yep, it was cool. I liked that video.
Yeah. So I'm always like, it's actually funny because I didn't know there were red wizards in D&D.
Yep.
But,
like, I think...
They're completely different in Final Fantasy, by the way. But the red wizards in Final Fantasy are like, they're like pirates almost.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I heard a couple people online say this, I don't know that much about D&D other than 5e, yes I know, crucify me in the comments, I know.
Yeah.
But because someone had commented online that the owlbear transformation, you actually can't do that.
No, why not? Oh, because it's too big?
In 5e,
it's
not a transformable druid wild shape, but it is in older editions.
Right.
So I think they were, like, picking and choosing things. Now, I can't remember if the Red Wizards are just a faction, but I do remember there being, like, an evil group of Red Wizards in one of the story campaigns that D&D has, you know, Wizards of the Coast has put out.
Wizards of the Coast. So here's the thing I noticed. Walk. It's like, some people were complaining about a couple things about this movie online. One of them is that it does one of those kind of woke emasculates the male heroes kind of thing. And it did that with the sorcerer, but it didn't really do it with the bard.
He didn't do it with the bard at all. He was just your stereotypical, hey, I'm a bard. And he was a good bard.
The rain's picking up, actually.
Yeah.
The bard is the main character.
Yeah.
And he can't really fight, but he does talk his way through situations, and he does come up with good plans.
Yeah. So,
he has his point in the
group. So, the irritation for me about the bard is only because of the fact that I don't know if bards could cast magic in older editions of D&D.
I think they could.
Because in 5e, they can cast a lot of magic. They're kind of OP at really high levels.
Yeah. Okay, so...
But, like, the bard didn't cast any magic.
No, he didn't.
Like, I think that maybe, like, he was doling out, like, inspiration here and there.
When he was doing his stuff? Yeah, he was talking people into it?
Yeah. Like, but that's about it. Like, he didn't cast any actual... And that was pretty much my only gripe.
Inspiration is a spell, right?
Actually, in 5e, inspiration is just an ability the bard has. It lasts for 10 minutes, and is just an extra dice that you can just add to, like, any, just any roll. It's just an inspiration dice.
I was actually,
It's a D6 at really high levels.
At one point, I had the option of playing a spellless bard in Sargon's campaign.
Because Sargon's dumb.
Well, okay, hold on.
And wanted to do...
Jesus. You're like constantly doing it. Give me a second here. Okay, so Sargon wanted to do a low magic setting.
In D&D 5e, which was dumb.
Which is very high magic, yeah.
Dumb.
But basically, the concept is that there was a spellless bard and a spellless ranger that replaced the various magic spells that bards and rangers have with mundane versions.
Mm-hmm.
With non-magical versions.
Yeah.
But anyway, firstly, a lot of complaints about this movie are that, one, the woke emasculation of male heroes. They only did that with a sorcerer, and that was fine. Sorcerers are always kind of wimpy in, like, a lot of media.
Yeah, and also the male villain wasn't emasculated at all.
No. Well, he's a villain, though.
I know.
And then secondly, the second complaint is that there was too many jokes and quips, and some people don't like the whole Marvel style, can't take anything seriously, there's jokes 24/7. And this movie had that, but I actually think it works in this movie. And here's why. If I can actually say it.
It's scary.
The story of this movie felt like someone's actual D&D campaign.
That's the best part, is that it, like, okay, so...
And when you're playing D&D, there's always jokes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just being an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's the point of D&D, is that everyone's just being an idiot. Now, what was this rated? Do you remember? It's, like, rated PG-13 or something?
I think so.
Yeah. Like, this was really good. I really liked how much it felt just like a campaign come to life. Yeah. Like, of course you have to give the movie like a little bit of like, yeah, they have to do certain stuff in a certain way for it to make sense as a movie, you know? Like that scene with the bard's daughter and the villain probably was explained like way later in an actual campaign. Like, maybe they didn't actually see that because there was no player characters there. Mm-hmm. So, but like Critical Role that did a show, they've done a show. No, like listen, because it's like I think it's an R-rated show.
Critical Role?
Yeah. Okay. Like not the podcast show, but they made like an actual animated series called I think Vox Machina Legends or something like that. I don't remember the show's title, even though I've watched it. I don't remember. Anyway, they have an actual animated show, and it's like rated R, and I actually liked this movie better than that show, only because it was less vulgar, and like it just fit better, you know. Like I really like Critical Role again. Yeah. Crucify me in the comments. Yes. I know I don't care.
You deserve it this time, yeah.
I like it a lot, and like I feel like. I feel like that's saying something, you know, for like a YouTube show I love a lot. I have an animated series and I actually kind of like this movie a little better. just because the humor in that was just like so much in the show. So much. So, I was just here, like, okay, listen.
I'm going to give you the TLDR of the plot without naming.
Yeah, I can't give a TLDR.
Okay.
I can't.
TLDR. You have the bard. And
also, I missed part of it.
And you missed the first couple minutes. So the bard was, the bard got married, had a kid, had a great life. He was working for some kind of an underground organization that like trafficked in secrets to a chaotic good organization.
Still the Harpers?
Yeah, the Harpers is what they're called. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And after, basically, he stole some money from a red wizard he was also bringing to justice, but the money was tracked, and so the red wizards came and killed his wife, but the child survived. After that, he became an actual thief. He was just like, and they ran around. It was him. It was Simon the Terrible
Sorcerer.
Simon the Terrible Sorcerer. Mm-hmm. Which actually reminds me, that guy reminds me of the wizard from Trine. Because in Trine, he spends the whole time trying to cast Fireball and he never can. And then when he has kids, they actually cast Fireball like immediately.
It's really funny.
So there's Simon the Terrible Wizard. There's
Holger.
There's Michelle Rodriguez, Ana Lucia from Lost.
She was so good. I love
that. She was a barbarian.
Listen, guys.
She was a really good barbarian.
I love everything she's in.
Yeah. She's pretty good. But she was actually, she kind of bulked up for the role, too. Like, she was lifting weights.
Dude.
But she was a barbarian.
Yep.
And then Chris Pine was the bard.
Yep.
You had Simon the Terrible Wizard.
Sorcerer specifically.
Yep.
That's why the wild magic thing that happened once, which is my small other grape, happened.
Yeah.
And the.
Well, no, it was those three, and then there was the actual thief, who was, what was his name? He became the villain at the end.
I don't remember.
Just thief who backstabbed them because he's a thief.
The villain.
Okay? Yeah, the villain. And so the four of them plus his daughter, because she's in like her teens, like her early teens.
George?
Now.
No.
George. Well, anyway, they go running around stealing, The bard says, listen, we only steal from people who are rich. Like, we're
Robin
good,
Hood.
We're good thieves. They were hired by someone who they didn't know was a red wizard, but turned out to be a red wizard, to go and break into a vault. And in the vault, there's supposed to be some kind of magic thing, and everyone had their reasons for breaking in. And the bard's was to get a tablet of resurrection that would bring back his wife.
Yep.
But then they get caught. They get thrown in jail. The bard and the barbarian are in jail for 2 years in like a snowdrift, and then they
snowdrift. It was like a fortress in the middle of the snowy mountains.
Yeah, and they end up breaking out because one of the there's like a tribunal where they hear the pleas of the prisoners if they want to get out or not, and one of the people was like
the appeal board.
Yeah, the appeal board. One of the people on the board is like an eagle man.
Oh, what are they called?
It's like a bird man.
Aracroca? I don't remember.
An Aracoa. No, an Aracoa.
I have no idea how to pronounce it.
Because Aracoa is like a real life.
No, thing. I know. Okay. I understand. But it's like three A's and
a C. Aracoa.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Aracoa.
I can't
speak. Aracoa.
language.
What happens is they manage to like disable the guards, grab him, and they jump out the window with him, and then and the Birdman's like, what the fuck? And so he starts flying with the two of them holding on to him.
Yep.
And they manage to get far enough away that like they just kind of knock him out and they escape.
That shouldn't have worked because there was two of them and one of him, and he's a medium-sized humanoid. Well, and so are they.
Yeah, well, he carried them. So they got away. And then they decide to,
Wait, didn't he, like, fall flat on his face?
Yeah, he got knocked out.
Okay.
So they decide to go and meet up with... As they're traveling back to civilization, they realize that the thief who backstabbed them has now become the Lord of Neverwinter.
Yes.
Which is really funny, because, like, they mentioned both Baldur's Gate, which is a D&D video game, and Neverwinter.
Which is a town.
But it's also...
The city, and yes, that's...
Baldur's Gate is known for being a video game.
Yes, I know, but the point of Baldur's Gate is that it is in Baldur's Gate.
Yeah. Okay. and then Neverwinter, which is best known for the video game Neverwinter Nights.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. But anyway.
Pretty sure Neverwinter is a city too, but I might be wrong on that.
No, it was a city. It was a city in the movie.
In D&D.
In D&D.
I don't know if it's just... Okay. I'm pretty
sure... being a lore...
Fuck you.
Maybe he's being a lore princess right
now. Fuck you. No, I'm not.
Okay. Anyway. They realize that the thief in the 2-year absence has become Lord of Neverwinter, so he goes there, and he's like, hey, my old friends! And he backstabs him again.
We're gonna call the thief George.
George.
Because I don't remember his name.
It turns out that the red wizard that betrayed them is now working for him, and his daughter is there, the bard's daughter, and she now thinks that her dad hates him, and so they like have to escape from the city, and then they're like, fuck, what are we gonna fucking do? How are we handling this situation? And then they go, okay, well, you know what we're gonna do? We're going to rob the vault of all of his money, because fuck this guy. And we're going to get your daughter back. Okay, how do we do that? Let's go find Simon, the terrible mage again.
Sorcerer.
Whatever.
They're different things.
Okay, Simon, the terrible sorcerer. They go to him, and it's like, listen, we need here's the plan, all right? There's a really powerful ward on the vault. He can't break it, but maybe we can shapeshift into
it. Mordekainen's seal.
Yeah. So maybe we can shapeshift into it. And so he's like, well, my ex-girlfriend is a druid.
Not ex-girlfriend.
No, they dated and then they stopped dating.
They did not date.
Yes, they did. That's a point.
No, the point is that he had a huge crush on her, tried to get her to go out with him, and she was just like, no, you make me sad.
Well, no, the point is that they went on like one or two dates, and then she was like, no.
No.
That's what it sounds like to me.
No.
Anyway, he knows this girl who doesn't like him, okay? Who's a tiefling, and she's a druid.
Can I point out something about her being a tiefling? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think this is the first time in like a D&D-ish universe, like even base universe, where I've seen a normal, like a human-skinned tiefling.
So not like a like purple skin or something.
Not purple, not blue, not red, not any other crazy fucking color.
Well, they didn't want to like, makeup, right?
No, I know.
It was a regular redhead.
It would have been like Mystique makeup.
Yeah.
That would have been cool,
She had a tail. Which actually like held on to things with her tail a couple times. So, like,
that was cool. Yeah.
She had her tail. She had like her pointy ears. She had her horns.
Yeah.
But she looked like a human otherwise.
Yeah. And right. I mean, it actually says that in the player's handbook of 5e that they can just look like normal people, but everyone just makes them red.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think by the time of 5e came around, the Draenei from Warcraft, which are basically like tieflings, but they have like hooved feet, they became so popular because of Warcraft.
Satyrs.
No, they're not satyrs. Satyrs and World of Warcraft are different.
Satyrs.
No, they're not.
That's fine.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They're just blue satyrs.
No, because satyrs have fur on their legs. And,
doesn't matter.
And Draenei don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
Draenei have a
they're
tail.
They're hairless satyrs.
Okay, they have hooved feet, a tail, horns, and glowing eyes.
Yeah.
They're basically Warcraft... Yeah. Tieflings. Yeah, they're the same thing.
Actually, I think something that it says in the 5e handbook that a lot of people forget, I'm pretty sure since I read it recently, is that tieflings are actually supposed to have like pupilless eyes. It's just supposed to be like one color.
Well, that's what Draenei have. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But like, I'm just
also
like,
Draenei are 8 feet tall though. They're tall.
Yeah, they're
tall. Really tall.
Yeah.
Are tieflings tall?
No, they can be. They the only like special descriptions of tieflings are the fact that their skin color can range to red because they look like demons or devils. I don't remember which one they're supposed to look like, and they have horns. They have a tail, and they have pointy ears, and they're supposed to have, like, no pupils in their eyes. It's supposed to be, like, one solid color, usually.
This is the thing. The Draenei also can look like demons. It's the same fucking race.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay.
I wonder which one came first.
Probably the tieflings.
Were they like a new addition? Or have they been around since like the 70s?
No, they've been around for a while. Okay, I don't know how long, because like the first few rates.
It doesn't matter. We're doing World of Warcraft now. Okay, listen. Tiefling ex-girlfriend who can transform into various things. She joins the crew because she wants to stop the Lord of Neverwinter from cutting down her forest. Okay.
Because she's a druid. I don't remember if you said that.
She's a druid, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she can transform, yeah.
No, I know. But that's why she lives in a forest.
Did druids transforming come from D&D as well, or was that part of like old druids?
I have no idea.
Because that was introduced in Warcraft 3 in Warcraft. The druids that could transform. But anyway.
Yeah.
So the four of them, they have their plan. They're like, listen, how's this gonna work? How are we gonna? Oh Jesus! Someone just is shining a light directly into them. Can you see our faces lit up right now?
Yep. Anyway.
Dude, turn off your fucking.
No, man, those are the low beams. This is why cars shouldn't have.
He's just there. Okay, fine, whatever. It's so bright, dude.
It's so bright.
Wait, if I put on the vest, can you like? No, you can't even see my eyes now. It's like, no, it doesn't work for you. Doesn't work for you. I bet it works for me. Okay. Anyway, listen. So they're like. Okay, we can't really break open the thing. The transformation is not going to work. What do we do? Oh, we need to get like a magic helmet that'll allow me to actually open the seal. Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the magic helmet? Their idea is they're going to go dig up a bunch of the barbarians' ancestors and talk to them and be like, listen, you fought a war over this helmet.
Yep.
Where is it? And so they start digging up these corpses, and the cleric,
so funny.
The sorcerer is like, you can ask them 5 questions before they die again.
Yeah.
So they start reviving people, and they start quizzing them.
Oh.
And then like eventually they do the joke several times. And they do it well every single time.
Yeah.
But what happens is they're like, okay, this guy doesn't have any information. He's like, but you have 3 questions left. And he's just, and they were like, what? He's like, well, I don't want to just sit here dead. Like, you have to, because they can't really move.
Asking them questions.
Yeah, it's like, so they just start asking them random questions, and then just.
Like, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite food?
And then they just die, right?
Yep.
Eventually, they get the information. They discover that a paladin, who used to be part of the Red Wizards, but left and became a paladin. He was a kid.
Yep.
So he has the helmet. They go to him. He's like, listen, I hid the helmet down in hell.
No, it's not hell. It's the Underdark. It's actually a different place.
I know what the Underdark is.
Are you sure? What's the Underdark, Dev?
It's like the Skaven tunnels in Warhammer. Where like you go underground and there's like a bunch of civilization down there? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Fuck you. You
know what? Anyway, I actually thought they were going to do like a whole drow bit, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Nope.
At all.
So they go down there and... Oh, yeah.
No,
do you want to talk about the brain guys? Is that what you're laughing at?
No, we're not there yet.
We're not sure. They go down there.
Yes, I know. We're not where I'm laughing at
yet. Okay, all right. they have like a running with these dogs that are just giant brains with legs. And it's kind of like a...
They're the intellect devourers, guys.
Yeah.
They're scary as fuck.
And then the paladin's like, listen, they only go after people who are smart. And they just walk by and they're like, oh.
That was really funny.
Like, well, we're all idiots. So then they get to the place where there's a giant like trap bridge with all these mechanisms to get to the to where he hid the helmet, and the sorcerer accidentally just walks on it, and the whole bridge crumbles.
He's like, I
stepped on the wrong one. See, this is what I mean. Like, this feels like a D&D campaign where like some idiot just like rolls something terrible or has like a dumb plan and like destroys everything.
Listen, that was also okay. Listen, like the whole bit was the paladin was talking about this like really complicated way to get over this trap bridge, and I was just like, the DM has gone too far with the puzzle.
Yeah.
The DM, and then the sorcerer just puts one toe on a block of the bridge, and the whole fucking thing collapses, and the whole party is just staring at him.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my
But it turns out that they have it's called a staff of hither thither.
Hither and tither.
Hither and tither. Which is basically just the portal gun from Portal.
It's just the portal gun from Portal.
So they portal across. And they portal across.
Yep.
And they find the helmet, mm-hmm. and there's a really cool fight scene between. Looks like a death. One of the Red Wizards had like his guys with him, and he seemed to be a Death Knight.
They're thanes. Like they're pretty much just Death Knights. They're undead assassins because there's a shit ton of backstory that comes in.
Yep.
From the paladin, so that we actually understand what's happening in the rest of the story.
Yeah, the paladin fights the Red Wizards. He like fucking owns them.
They're
really cool.
Wizards, though. They're just assassins.
But they're working for the Red Wizards.
No, yes, I understand that, but they're not using magic. You're making this current fight sound cooler.
Well, no, because he like has magic. He has like a green blade. He's throwing down the green fireballs and shit. Like, yeah.
There was a wizard slinging fireball at you, though, Geth.
That's why I said he was a Death Knight.
Yes, and there's arcane rogues. Trickster rogues who can use magic, but they're still rogues.
Okay, fine. Anyway.
Okay.
The paladin, like, solos all these fucking people. Everyone just watches, I guess.
It was awesome. It was such a good fight scene.
And he's just like, I'm just the best character in the whole fucking campaign.
Yeah!
Like, and when they escape, there's a fat dragon.
They kill all the undead guys.
They come back as they're
undead. The undead guys come back to life, so the party's, like, running away.
Yeah.
Fat red dragon breaks through the wall.
Yeah, they run into the lair of a really overweight, obese dragon.
Because it's so big!
And I don't mean like big. He's a huge. No, he's actually. He's like rolls of fat. There's roll. Like his stomach is just scraping on the ground. He's a really fat dragon. And they're like, oh shit. So they have to like run away from him.
And he just slides down the hill.
Yeah, he slides up down the hill on his fat. Yeah. But they manage to get out by, at one point they get caught in a cave, like a tiny side cave, and the fat dragon's head is, like, blocked in there with him.
Yeah, obviously hasn't rolled his breath back yet, by the way.
Yeah, but here's the thing, he has gasoline breath. He doesn't have fire breath, he has gasoline breath.
No, he has fire breath.
But, like, that's why the finger thing works.
Yes, but, like, listen, like, he has fire breath, but a thing that happens with D&D dragons is that once they use their breath weapon, they actually have to roll.
No, I know that.
But, like, no, listen, that's what's happening here, is that they have to roll a certain number to get the breath weapon back, and he hasn't gotten it back
but
yet.
But then why did they use the one-finger trick?
Rule of cool.
No.
Yes.
Because it's a different kind of breath. Okay, listen, it has to be. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, listen, here's what happens.
How was he able to shoot fire at the bridge?
Let me explain. Probably because he has, like, different weapons. Anyway, let me explain, okay? They're trapped in a cave. The only way in is sealed by this giant dragon. It's like the fat's, like, sealed it in. And the dragon's, like he has, like, a horn, so he's hammering the ceiling. And then salt water comes blasting in. So the bard is, like, we're obviously under the sea right now. So here's what we'll do, all right?
Barbarian.
The barbarian will beat on the dragon till he goes to blow his breath again. Then we'll all go under the water that's filling in the area. And then the sorcerer will stick one finger up and light the top of his finger on fire. And that will ignite the gasoline coming out of it's some kind of fumes or something coming out of the dragon's mouth that will then explode massively and kill the dragon and break through the ceiling because there's water pouring in. It will just swim up to the surface.
Can I tell you why I think you're only slightly wrong?
Okay, bye.
Is because I'm pretty sure that scene was right about when the dragon was about to get his breath weapon back and, like, shoot fireballs at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when it worked because you saw the sparks coming out, which I think, and then it just made the explosion even bigger, but they were safe under the water, which was able to blow the top off of the already damaged cavern.
Makes even less sense, though.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Makes more sense than gasoline breath.
Listen, there was another dragon earlier that had, like, tar breath.
Yes, they're black dragons. They have an acid breath weapon.
Well, it was tar, though. It was a flammable tar.
Acid.
But it lit on fire.
Yes.
I've seen weirder breath weapons in Warcraft, let me just say.
Wrong.
Okay. Anyway, some sort of flammable substance that was sparked by the wizard's one-finger candle-like candle
produced
trick flame.
Flame.
Yes.
Yep.
And then they swim to the surface. They have their helmet. The guy's trying to attune to the helmet. You can't attune to the helmet.
Also, so, the paladin leaves because he wasn't a player character. He was just an NPC helping them out.
And they're like, fuck, this isn't going to work. And then there's the best part of the movie. Best part of the movie, all right, is when they decide to this is how they plan the heist, all right? What they're going to do is all the gold in the entire realm is being brought to Neverwinter so it can be wagered on the games that the Lord is throwing. There's gambling and stuff going on, right? So here's what you're gonna do, all right? There's all these caravans coming into the city. What they're gonna, the plan is, they buy a really cheap painting, all right? They cut out the actual painting of it. They use the portal gun to put a portal on the painting, and then they put the actual fabric painting,
yes,
back on top of it. They stick it with, like, some honey or something.
You can use picture, right?
Well, okay, they put the picture back in there, in the frame, with the portal underneath it, okay? And then, someone... so ridiculous.
This was honestly amazing scene. We're not going to do it justice talking about it.
They take a bunch more of the sticky stuff. I think it was sap. They put it on the frame, and then the bard hides in a pile of leaves.
On a road.
And then when the cart holding all the stuff goes by, the bard sticks it to the top to the underside of the carriage.
Yep.
Okay, and then so over a hill, the rest of the team is there. They have the portal gun. They make it out of the portal. They reach in, pull out
the wooden planks on the bottom of the carriage.
Pull out the wooden planks on the bottom of the carriage, through the painting.
Yeah.
And then the tiefling goes inside. Mm-hmm. All right. Takes the staff that can generate portals.
Yep.
How do they get the painting inside again?
Okay, what they had to do was that she had to unstick the painting from the bottom of the carriage. Mm-hmm. But when she did, like, she fell partway through the hole they made, and then the sorcerer had to, like, grab her. He was, like, surfing, like, with the painting, because the painting almost fell, and he was, like, holding it with his foot through the portal.
Yeah, and the barbarian was holding her, or holding him,
yeah. And, like, the guards didn't notice.
The guards didn't notice, because they're just rolling underneath
like,
the...
It was fucking crazy. Anyway, she pulls him back up, like he still has the painting hooked, mm-hmm. and like they just flip-flop it through, like somehow he goes back through the portal.
If the portal's on the painting, how did he get the painting in the...
Because she lifted the painting up.
But through the portal that the painting's on?
Oh my god. Dev.
Doesn't make any sense.
When they stuck it to the bottom... Okay, give me your hand.
Oh, right. It was stuck to the bottom, and the board's already peeled off.
Yes. So she moved it up through the board.
Yeah, so she disabled the portal, lifted it back up, then she, like, re-enabled that portal on the painting again.
And stuck it back down so they could stick the boards on from the other side.
Yep, stuck it back down, they put the boards back on, and then she has the painting with the portal intact. She puts the picture back on it,
yep.
and then transforms into a fly and flies out of the carriage.
Yep.
So now they have... Inside the treasure carriage,
yep.
a painting with a portal underneath
hidden
the picture.
Portal.
Yeah. And so they wait until all the gold is brought into the treasury, mm-hmm. and then they go to like an inn, and they're in the like safety of like a private room.
Yeah.
And then they put a portal down, and they see what the fuck? It's a stone floor. It's like, oh, it turns out that the painting was laying flat.
Flat fell over. I bet you like
it was laying flat on the ground inside the
I bet you that was like an actual campaign. That was the DM being like, that's too easy. It fell. I'm going to roll a D100. We're going to see if it falls flat on its face.
So they have two plans going. One plan is to try to get the sorcerer attuned to the helmet again. Second plan is that the tiefling is taking a knife and carving just a little space underneath the portal, mm-hmm. that will allow her to transform into a worm.
Yeah, like in the stone floor. She's trying to like carve bits away from the stone floor so she can get through as a worm.
Yep.
Yep.
And so they're like, listen, we'll just do both plans.
Yep.
So they decide to frontal assault the castle during the games.
That was a good scene.
And they fight their way through.
They go to talk about the good part.
What, where Anna Lucia, like, destroys an entire fucking battalion of soldiers?
No, okay.
That was pretty cool.
To sneak into, like, the inner part of the castle.
Oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah, how can you forget that?
The sorcerer does an illusion of the bard singing.
Yeah.
But then, like, it starts to malfunction.
Because the sorcerer got his foot caught, and in D&D rules, you have...
concentration, I know, yeah.
Yeah, you have to maintain concentration, so the illusion started going, like, really, really weird.
It started skipping like it was like a skipping
like
CD.
A CD,
and then like the Chris Pine's face started like weirdly melting and shit. It was really strange.
It was so funny.
It was really strange.
And then they got caught and had to run.
And there was a. Then basically the barbarian like took out a shit ton of guys. Like she's just
that
fighting all
great.
Of them.
That was good. Amazing.
Yeah,
it was so
pretty
good.
Awesome.
All the fight scenes in this were actually pretty awesome.
Yep. Yeah, they were really good fight scenes.
Yeah.
And then. Of course, on the final hour, he manages to attune to the helmet. He blows open the door to the vault. He goes in, and there's like, there's nothing here. And then the tiefling is like, well, I made it in to the vault, and like, all the treasure's here, but like, the guards are loading it onto a ship.
Yep.
And then she gets knocked out, and they get caught by tentacles. And then Chris Pine, who went to go get his daughter, he gets caught by tentacles because his daughter turned to be the Red Wizard.
Yep.
And so they're all caught.
Wait. Okay, no, continue.
They're all
continue.
Caught.
Yep.
And then they're like, well, you know what? We'll just put you in the games and you're just going to die there.
Well, no. Okay.
Yeah,
George the thief comes into the wizard because he used to be to the bard because they used to be old buddies. And he was like, oh man, this sucks. You thought it was your daughter, but it was the Red Wizard. Haha. But I don't want to see you die. I want to leave the room even
while
though
you
you're
die.
My old buddy. And so then the bard is able to convince George the thief to actually put them in the games.
So they have a fighting chance, yeah.
So they actually, they don't all immediately die. And the Red Wizard, like, George the Thief is just like, oh, I don't think so. And the Red Wizard is just like, no, that's a great idea. Let's do that. They beat up so many people. Let's give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, so they go into the games. And the games are like a maze with, like, some treasure chests with items in them because they have no equipment.
And Displacer Beasts!
There's Displacer Beasts.
That was there. So cool!
Oh, and Mimics, too. They're Mimics.
Mimic!
Yumi loves Mimics, yeah.
Mimics are great.
But then there's also like dissolving slimes, like dissolving cubes.
Oh, what's it called? I don't remember. I don't remember the actual name for these stupid monsters, but guys, I think they're just called gelatinous cubes.
Yeah, they're cubes that you dissolve and you go inside of them.
Yeah. Well,
so
they're actual monsters.
Yeah, so basically, they're like, listen, this is stupid. We're going to die here. But sometimes there were cubes, and the cubes were attached to the walls that would slide up and down to build the maze.
Yeah.
So, like, here's the plan. We'll just jump inside of a cube.
Mm-hmm.
And the tiefling will, like, transform because she has, like, one finger out of the cube, so she'll just transform.
Yep.
And then we will,
A plan could have backfired so hard.
Yeah, that was a risky plan. That was like, a bit too much for me. I was like, nah.
I have seen... I watched too much Critical Role. I've seen really stupid shit work just like that. It was very believable.
So they all jump inside the cube that will dissolve them, hoping that the tiefling can have, like, one little bit of a finger sticking out the other side.
Yeah.
So that she can transform out of the cube and then pull them out, which happens.
Which works.
But here's the thing. The mechanism, they slide back down into the under belly of the maze.
Yeah.
Where all the pieces are sliding up and down. Mm-hmm. They escape out. They're in the vault. They find the ship. And then they're like, oh my god, dude, we have a ship full of gold. This is awesome.
Yep.
And then, like...
George the Thief shows up with the bard's daughter.
Yep.
And then the bard finally convinces...
And the reason why George the Thief shows up is because the plan was... Here was the trade-off. The Red Wizard was working with George the Thief so that he could escape with all the money.
Yep.
And she had the entire city's inhabitants inside the stadium so that she could cast a massive spell and turn them all into undead. Because she wanted to control them.
Again, lore purposes earlier established, this already happened.
With the Paladin's family, yeah. So, what happens is they manage to...
They defeat George the Thief.
They defeat George the Thief, they get the daughter back, they get on the ship full of gold, they sail away, and as they're sailing away, they look back and they see, you know, the giant...
Tentacles descending from the sky. That reminded me of descending from the sky, the fucking red vines from Deadly Premonition.
Yeah.
Each time.
Or the red vines from Picard.
No, Picard doesn't
exist. Because Picard season 3.
Deadly Premonition did it first.
Okay, so anyway, the red vines coming down, and they're like, oh, fuck, we gotta go back and save him, don't we?
Yep.
So they go back, and their plan is, there's like a giant blimp with the face of George the Thief.
George the Thief flying around. His face all over the city.
Yeah. So, using the portal, the portal gun.
The rod.
Yeah. The sorcerer puts a portal on the face of George on the balloon flying around the city.
Yep.
And then goes into the treasure ship and puts a portal on the bottom of the treasure ship.
Yep.
So that all the gold just flows down into the portal, then out over the city.
For those of you who have seen Treasure Planet, it's like the scene with the gold just falling into the pits of lava near the end of the movie. It's very
pouring.
It's not as extreme as that, but that's immediately what it reminded me of.
Yep. Just pouring. And then, like, all the townspeople are like, oh my god! So they all run out of the stadium to get the gold.
Yep.
And the sorceress is like, what the fuck? The red wizard's like, what the fuck? So the spell doesn't work. They go back and they're like, we got to kill the red wizard. Okay, so they go back to the city and they have like a crazy fucking fight.
Oh man, it was so cool.
It was a really good fight, yeah.
It was so good.
All four of them take on the red wizard.
So good. Oh, and the okay, I think I figured out what spell they were using.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I freaked out because I thought that the hand spell that she was using was the finger of death.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be, but I'm pretty sure it's, at least in 5e, it's called Bigby's Hand,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like a hand.
A big hand that appears?
Yeah, exactly, because he was using it too, but it was made out of stone.
And she was using one made out of flesh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was cool. I actually
like a hand fight?
Yeah, well, like, the hand fight was cool, but I actually really appreciated how, like, with the Bigby's Hand, they actually, like, just like, yes, characters flavor their spells, guys.
Yeah.
They do that, it's cool.
Yep. So there's a really cool fight scene.
So cool.
They managed to beat the Red Wizard.
The best way is that we didn't know the plan, but the actual plan to beat the Red Wizard was they just go and they go fight the Red Wizard, you know, like in addition to spreading the gold around the city. But the actual plan, it turns out, was to have the daughter, who has a pendant that makes her go invisible, slap on these magic.
It's like a magic dampener cuff on her, right?
Yes, thank you.
Both things were introduced much earlier in the movie, so it didn't come out of nowhere.
Yes.
Here's the weird thing, though, is that, like, when Chris Pine was talking to the daughter, he was just like, listen, just go hide somewhere. He didn't tell her the plan. He's like, he just said, go hide somewhere.
That's because it was a told off-screen plan.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that like, there's little bits... It's always at the end...
That wasn't a good part.
That part was dumb, but it's always little... It's always the end of the ends of the movie.
So, they managed to, They win the day. The barbarian is like mortally wounded by the Red Wizard's blade.
And they have no one who can heal.
And so the bard decides to give up his quest for getting his wife back and uses the Tablet of Resurrection on.
Yeah, because side note, the daughter didn't even know the mother.
Yeah.
because the daughter's what? Like, she can't be more than 12.
She was like 14, I think.
I don't know.
What does it matter? The point is that, like...
She's really young.
The daughter was a baby when the mother died.
Yeah.
And Chris Pine's whole motivation was, I'm going to get my wife back so that you can have a mother again. And then at the end, he realizes that the barbarian was actually her mother the whole time.
Yeah.
And so he gives up seeing his wife again to revive the woman that his daughter actually believes to be her mother.
Well, no. Okay, you're making that sound
not believes, but like feels is her mother.
Yes, yes. Like just a mother replacement.
Mother figure.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you worded that so terribly.
Throughout the movie, whenever Chris Pine was thinking about his dead wife, and also back when she was alive, there were always blue dragonflies around. And what happens is at the very end, a blue dragonfly comes down and like lands on his shoulder or whatever.
He takes that as the sign.
And then
dead wife.
Yeah, and then he says, "Okay, yeah, it's time to let you go. I'm going to bring back the barbarian."
You know what I actually thought was going to happen? So, I kind of assumed that the Harpers were like a paladin organization because that's.
No, they're like a good thief.
No, yes, I understand, but I missed the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, parts of the beginning. I missed the part of the beginning of the movie, so I actually thought that he might have a little bit of paladin. Like, he might have multiclassed a little bit into paladin. He was gonna do lay on hands, and she would have been fine.
Nope.
That's what I thought was gonna happen.
That's why the paladin should have stuck around, jeez.
Well, no, okay, listen, he was introduced as a character to help them find this legendary thing so that they could use it to beat the bad guy, but he couldn't stay around.
So,
that's why he was able to take out all those guys.
What was really funny is that, like, the first bit of the movie is told as a flashback as the bard is talking to the appeal board to get out of prison. But then it turns out the entire movie was actually told as a flashback by George the Thief, who is now in prison for everything that happened.
Yep.
And he decides to do the exact same thing by grabbing the bird man and jumping through the window.
Yep.
But now there's no window. It's like a curtain.
Yep.
He's like jumps into a wall. He's like, oh,
that
fuck.
Was great. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a pretty good ending. The fact that they just like, yeah, that was a good ending.
Yep.
So it was a good movie. It's definitely like, it's definitely for D&D fans.
It's for D&D fans, but I don't think it's for like people who are going into it expecting it to be like perfect D&D lore every time. Like, I'm pretty sure that the druid wild shaped too many times in a row.
Yeah, there was a big chase scene where she like escaped from the city, and she went from.
I don't even know. Well, many animals.
It was fly to rat. And then from rat to eagle as she fell out of the tower.
Yeah.
And then from eagle...
To human.
Which
is kind of canceling wild shape. I don't remember if that counts or not.
She became like a deer at one point.
No, she became a bird thing first to hide among other bird things.
A chocobo, basically.
Small, tiny chocobo.
And then a...
And then a deer.
And then a deer. Yeah.
No, she also became a cat.
Right.
She became a cat.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was six shapes in one sequence.
But the thing is, I don't know.
How many shapes can you have?
I don't know because I don't know the rules that well. So like maybe. But
also
anyway,
like she did worm another sequence too. She had like an earthworm form.
Yeah, and they hadn't rested. So like, listen, I think like you can't go into it expecting it to be like perfect D&D everything. Like no, you have to go into it giving like it's still gonna be. A movie.
How about this? Could non-D&D fans like this movie?
Did you like the movie?
I'm a D&D fan.
Are you?
Just not a, I'm not a super fan, D&D. But I enjoy D&D.
I think that non-D&D fans could enjoy this movie as a good romp.
If I sat my parents down to watch this, would they like it?
They probably would. They probably laugh at, like, lots of things. Mm-hmm. Because, like, none of the jokes were, like, it wasn't like Mario, where, like, a lot of the, like, jokes and nostalgia stuff.
Yeah, the jokes weren't fourth wall breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, like, in-universe jokes.
Yeah, like, they were all good jokes. Like, it was honestly just, it was just the wackiness and, like, unbelievableness of what idiotic player characters would decide to do when faced with the situations that the actors were in.
Yeah, so basically, like, there were a few just turns in the story that make me feel like it was actually a D&D campaign, because something just kind of happens. It's like, oh, just as it would, you know, like, oh, you critically fucked that up.
Yep.
And things that wouldn't happen in a normal movie did happen because they just fuck ups. Like, oh, oops. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So it felt more like a D&D story in that respect.
I think that you could take along a D&D person who, like, but they have to like fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it, as long as they like fantasy stuff, I generally think they would enjoy watching this movie, even if they had never played or wanted to play D&D.
There's one thing that actually you missed, though, since you missed the first couple minutes of the movie.
Okay.
So, before the movie started, I was sitting there, and I was like, okay. They're like, feature presentation, and I'm like, oh shit, anyone's not going to make it here in time.
No, I'm not.
But then they had like an extra minute between the feature presentation and the start of the movie, where all the actors come on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sitting in front of like a fireplace, and they're like, listen, thank you for coming to the theater. We know that you're a movie fan. You're in the theater beside other movie fans. You keep our industry alive. And they're like, it's like they were really like saying like, please, theaters are dying. Keep coming back. Like all the main actors in the movie.
Oh really?
Were there.
Wow.
And they were like begging the audience, like, please bring your friends to the movie. like the theaters are dying. Please come back. Like, see more movies. Like, I was like, what the fuck? What is this suddenly?
Of course, in the professional Hollywood way.
Yeah. They were but still though, I was like, I haven't seen this before. What the fuck? Really? I guess I mean, I heard that theaters are not doing well after the pandemic.
They're not.
Like theaters have not revived after the pandemic. And I'm like, oh. I mean, they're already kind of going downhill in the 2010s, but, like, the pandemic really killed the industry.
Well,
and now, like, everyone's just watching shit on Netflix. They're just like, and it's like, oh, are theaters doing that badly that after a major release like this, are going to have the actors come on screen to, like, beg you to watch more movies? It's like, dude.
I mean.
Damn.
I don't know. To be honest, with the way streaming services are going, like, theaters will probably be fine.
You think so? Because they're getting shittier, too?
Yeah, everything's just getting shittier. I don't know. I know they can't right now, but I think if they honestly just lowered the price of their fucking food, people would come more. Like, actually.
Yeah, it's like $6 for a ticket and then $20 for a bag of popcorn. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, like, what? Like, the stuff? $21.
Yep.
That I got.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a lot of stuff, guys.
Nope.
We weren't being fatties today. We actually, we shared.
Yeah, we shared. It was $21.
And I got like, two separate drinks, and it was $21. And I was just like, holy fuck.
Yeah. It's getting bad.
Yeah. Like I don't know how much of a prop, I don't know how much of a markup it is. I don't know. I don't and I can't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. I'd probably cry how much of a markup it is for the food there. Because I know that's where they make their money. But, like, if they lowered their prices a bit to be slightly more reasonable, more people would come to the theater.
Yeah.
And also, if they fucking lowered the volume. Holy
of the
shit.
Movie?
It's so loud.
It's pretty loud, yeah.
It's, you know what I
got used to it, but yeah.
No, listen, you know what I bet you the reason is that they, because I swear to God the volume is higher now than it used to be. I bet you it's because of the shitty sound mixing from fucking Hollywood.
Actually, you know what's funny? Remember that I had to go to the washroom during the beach scene, remember? So I stepped out for you and came back. And I was in the washroom.
You could hear it.
I could hear the movie.
Yeah.
Because like I was in one stall on the far end of the washroom,
mm-hmm.
and that wall was like bordering the movie theater.
Yep.
And I was just like, I can hear the fucking movie in here.
Yeah, like,
I didn't miss much.
Like, maybe it's just, like, you know, like, I'd say it's my ears getting more sensitive, but I think I'm pretty sure I'm getting more deaf as I get older.
Well, I think we all do.
Yeah, you know, no, I know, but, like, it's so much louder. Like, it hurts my ears for some of those scenes. Like, that's, honestly, that's why I was, like, leaning on you for some of it, so I didn't have to, like, well, because, like, when I had both ears open, it was like, wah, and I was just like, I had to be like, oh,
no, I will say,
okay.
I will say, the theater was pretty packed for a release that's, like, this old.
this is why I wanted to go see it earlier. They only had one time available for this day because it's slowly nearing the end of its release in theaters, which is why I wanted to
go something going
way earlier in when it's fucking timeline,
we didn't have time, man.
I had the time. You guys are just being suckbergs.
All right.
That's what happened there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we had to go to a slightly earlier show than we normally do.
Yep.
And like, because usually we go to like the last show of the night, mm-hmm. so that we can do this slightly more uninterrupted.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you haven't interrupted tonight either.
We got interrupted once.
Oh yeah, the giant glare. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and that's more than we ever have. So.
Yeah. I think the latest we've done this has been like 1 a.m.
Yeah, that was like for like our first. I think that was for How the Crawdads Sing.
No, we did that in the middle of the day.
No, we didn't. Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot.
No, it was. Oh,
was it Sonic?
It was Sonic. And we saw Sonic 2. We did it in the middle of the night.
Yep. Because that wouldn't... That show... Yeah, that's right. It was like 10.
Yep.
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah.
We tend to do these late.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that's why the format's called midnight screenings, right?
Because you do them at midnight. Yes, I mean, it is. And I'm not complaining about that. Like, it's dark right now, you know, even though it's like earlier than we usually do this. But like, that's why it was so packed. I totally forgot about that fact. Yep. And I was like, oh no, it's going to be busy. And then it was okay. Like, we picked our seats. We weren't super close to anyone.
Yep. One guy had his fucking foot right up right here, though.
Yeah, that's why I like empty theaters.
Yeah.
Or you know, you know what? That's actually one of the reasons why I like sitting up at the very like back portion of the theater.
Up in hand job row.
Yeah. But like my favorite part of like the theater to sit, just for convenience sake, is the little balcony areas where like you're the first seat and then there's just the wall, because then you can just put your feet up.
Oh, where the stairs are.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite places to sit. Like, I know it's not the greatest for viewing the movie, but I'm like, it's so much more comfortable as someone who can't sit like a normal human being.
Yep. All right, well, I think that's the end of this. That was D&D. Did they set up for a sequel? They kind of did. I feel like they could make a sequel out of this if it did
they
well.
They didn't specifically set up for a sequel.
Yeah, everything's tied up.
But could very easily be a sequel.
Yeah, because I mean the Red Wizards aren't completely vanquished. They only killed one of them. Yes. The rest of them still exist. So like
yeah, they did.
They could keep going.
They can keep going, but they don't have to.
Yeah.
But they can.
Well, hopefully they do. So it was good.
Yeah, I'd watch another one. I recommend you go watch it. It's fun. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Actually, we just told the whole plot, so there's no point.
Okay, guys, listen. We're not doing the movie justice, and Dev told the plot semi-badly in places, so don't worry about it.
Well, yes, watch it. I actually left things out, so you don't spoil the whole movie. Which is why I'm always like, Naomi, let me just fucking do it, Naomi.
I must spoil. It's so good.